We're going to take a look at John chapter 5 in a moment. Before we do that, let's ask God's blessing on his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word and its lamp and light to us. The impact it has within your spirits at work in us to receive it. And the marvel of your word being of such a transforming power and influence as it's proclaimed, and that your spirit does work through it. A reason to be here tonight that way too, as your word is ministered to us. It's not the one proclaiming it. It's not even we who are to be sure that are to be at the forefront of this time. It's the greatness of your name and how you work all things well and how ends well for your people when they make their rest and confession in you along with the Son and Spirit. So may it be a blessing for us to take up the reading of your word and to consider the truths of your word tonight. And we'd ask that you'd hear us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be taking up the reading of John chapter 5, which was a chapter that Dr. Sasha Wallachord was using a couple of weeks ago when he was dealing with the matters of the healing at the pool on the Sabbath by Jesus and the truths that Jesus is equal with God. We're going to be picking up where he left off there, as it turns out, in verse 19. And reading through to verse 29 of John chapter 5, and then in light of God's word, we use that to respond and look at the catechism tonight, Lord's Day 22, and there's two questions there that are good for us to be able to answer confessionally and publicly tonight. We're going to be answering those questions both together in just a moment on page 29 in the back of the hymnal from Lord's Day 22, but before we do that, let's look at God's Word, and we take up the reading of John chapter 5, starting with verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in him, in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." We're thankful for God's word. We take a moment to respond to it and consider the truths that we confess as God's people. It's a fleshing out of the last part, the Apostles' Creed, Lord's Day 22, questions 57 and 58. If you would please answer these questions with me. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be united with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. Question 58. How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no man has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. Thank the Lord again for His Word and for the blessings it can be to us with His Spirit's blessing upon us. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is worth noting that there are many times in our lives where we put a stress on starts and finishes, beginnings and endings. We have to have a good start out of the starting block, we hear, especially if we're running sprints. We have to have a good start to the day, and that includes a good breakfast. We hear people telling us in a workout, and I've seen it again lately, and seeing one of my daughters or seeing other people in this congregation who run cross country, and they're being told as they're finishing their race, and anybody who's ever done something like that can hear people saying, finish strong, or give your all to the end. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but that's the calling, and it's a good one. Finish strong. And when it comes to finales, like a good fireworks show, well, we all want those to be grand. Grand finales. There's something blessed about that to us. The Christian confession is one that starts out well and it finishes strong. True faith always begins with God. And it has to begin with God in order for there to be pardon, in order for there to be a holy Catholic Church, and in order for there to be a communion of the saints, for there to be forgiveness of sins. Life begins with God. And the profession of our faith has to begin with Him as well. But if that profession doesn't finish strong, if it finishes with a whimper, then the faith that we would have in God would be an empty one indeed. But the Christian confession doesn't end with a whimper. It ends well. It finishes strong. Its finale is truly grand. The end of that confession is not only a strong one, but displays just how strong and good is the God who is professed in the first place. And it shows why it's worthwhile to profess God alone in the first place and to profess Him to the end, because it ends well in a hope-filled sense, because it ends well. That means it makes all things well. And we take to heart so often, don't we, that all is well that ends well. That's the case for the person who hears the word of Christ and he believes it. Everything ends well, so that all can be well for us. For if all does not end well, nothing can truly be well. And you can't sing like you did earlier, "It is well with my soul." Everything ends well, all ends well, because the Christian confession ends with the belief that there is the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And we want to consider, as the Catechism does, the comfort that's found in the Scriptures about these two truths. They're the last in the Christian confession, but they are not the least. Certainly not. So let's consider, first of all, that all is well that ends well because of the resurrection of the body. How important that the confession that we make begins with God, and it ends with hope. And of course, we could say that because it does begin with God, it does end in hope. As the confession concludes, it concludes with an ending that's truly a happy one. We like happy endings. what makes us read some of the books that we read. It's what makes us sometimes try to skip to the end because we just want to make sure that when we get to the end that everything's going to turn out all right. So that we can maybe enjoy the book a little bit more as we go back to where we started or where we left off. We love when things turn out well in the end. We love to hear that a story of drama ends with the heroes of the story making it safely in the end. We get encouraged when people come alongside of us and they tell us, "Don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to turn out in the end. Don't you worry." No happier ending can there be than our trust, than when our trust is in God and our confession of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must find ourselves thanking God throughout our lives because of such a happy ending as this. What a difference it should make in the lives that we live. What a blessed truth to profess and to profess rightly. You know, every person has some kind of faith. That's what the world sometimes doesn't want to act like. Some people like to say, "Well, no, I don't have any God. I don't have any religion." Everybody has a religion. Everybody has a faith system that they follow. But if the faith that we have only ends with death, with nothing better, greater, or stronger than the troubles of life that face us every day, that kind of faith, that kind of life simply doesn't end well. It just doesn't. Because it ends in death. That's not a good ending. Some would say that such faith is only being realistic. You make the best of life, whatever that may be, and then realize that's that. Can you really tell people, though, at that point, everything's going to be all right when that's the way it ends? It's quite a hopeless way to live, but some would say, "Well, you know, at least we're being honest with ourselves." Others, of course, would see a future beyond the grave of some sort, one kind of or another, perhaps in coming back in another life form or as another person. Others more commonly believe, you hear that a lot of times, that anybody who dies, they come alongside somebody and say, "Well, at least we know he's in a better place, wherever that is, however that is." That's what's supposed to matter the most. They're in a better place. People take comfort in that some way or another. Things are going to end up well, but on what basis? Why? And yet the call to real and secure comfort comes not in the belief of some fantasy land for everybody, some better place that everybody goes to, and not in some hopeless confronting of this confronting capitulation to death, but to believe in the God who makes the resurrection of the body a reality through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. There can be no better end for a person, and no better confession for a person to make than one that ends with the resurrection of the body. And if whatever confession we have, whatever it might be, if it ends any less than that, then it's like the Apostle Paul says, our faith is in vain, whatever faith we might have. The life we live is empty, not just the end of it. We're still in our sins. Our God isn't strong enough. Our God is only a God of the dead. And we end up hopeless because there can be no hope in life without resurrection after life. And there can be no resurrection without a belief in the Word of God and His Christ, the first fruits of those who sleep. As we're reminded, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus was accused of blasphemy and of being a Sabbath breaker, as he did well on the Sabbath. And he's being judged by those who will be judged by him one day, as God the Son. He's accused of making himself equal with God, and he proceeds to make a further case that he is. As the one who does all that he does in unity with the Father. And so that if you want to believe in God, you better believe in him too. But it includes the ability and the willingness to resurrect bodies by his own word. It's his word that creates as the word made flesh. It is his word that recreates, that resurrects. This resurrection is going to occur in God's timing. When all will be taken from their tombs, believers unto new life, unbelievers unto judgment. The resurrection of the body is a time of reunion. It's a reunion of body and soul. With the soul that goes to the Lord at death, reunited to bodies glorified by the Spirit of Christ. And it's a time of reunion for the Church of Jesus Christ, and a time of great fellowship, body and soul, with the head of the church, as together believers will be with the Lord forever. That's a happy ending for the believer. For the unbeliever, it's not a happy ending, because it's a time of condemnation for the one who would not heed and hear the gospel word of Christ. The resurrection of the body can only be a happy ending for the believer in Christ. It is essential to his faith, and only he who makes it. It's his help to make life today worthwhile. It's his help for all those who have gone the way of death before him in Christ. It's his hope as he has to face death in his own life. But the resurrection is not a hopeful time for any unbeliever. It's not only not a part of his confession, it becomes a time of judgment, both body and soul, for eternity. A judgment that begins already with a hopeless life. That's where the judgment already begins, because you don't know the blessing of living for the Lord. And living with the hope of eternity in front of you and a blessed existence with Christ forever. There's time to turn to Christ now, but at the resurrection time, that's long past. There'll be nothing to face except the doom of eternal judgment. Things don't end well for the unbeliever. We can perhaps find ourselves envying the unbeliever during our lives sometimes because of what he has among the things of the world, or the things that he accomplishes, or the times in which they seem to live such carefree lives, and they don't seem to have to sometimes worry about anything. But the unbeliever, and for the unbeliever, all is not well. Because it doesn't end well for those whose faith is not in the word of Christ, who alone can make our endings happy ones unto the resurrection of our bodies. See, the life that should be envied, the life that should be attractive, the life that for which we should be thanking God for, no matter who we are, is the life of Christian faith that begins with God and ends with resurrection. No other way of living can be a better way to live, and no other faith can be a better one to believe, because it's only through the truth that ends well for the believer, that true comfort for one's life, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, can be found. And even when all may not seem so well for you at the moment, and there can be all kinds of reasons for that, it's the happy end of tomorrow that's our hope for today. Not the demise of the body, but the resurrection of it. Everything will end well for the believer in Jesus Christ. And that's the hope to which we're called. And that's what we can tell people. That's what can be the hope unto which we can hold. And that's what really allows somebody to be able to come alongside somebody else and say, you know what? In the end, everything will be okay. Everything will be well. Because all's well that ends well when we have the resurrection of the body in view. But not only the resurrection of the body, but the life everlasting. Both of those things give us reason to confess that all is well that ends well. Jesus speaks here both of physical resurrection, but he also speaks of spiritual resurrection in our passage. And we see that coming through, especially in the tail end of what we read. In verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life. That's spiritual resurrection. He doesn't come into judgment, but he's passed from death to life. That's a spiritual resurrection. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. That's spiritual resurrection. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil for the resurrection of judgment. That's the physical resurrection. And he's saying, don't marvel that God can carry out or his Son can carry out spiritual resurrection in people's lives. He can also carry out physical resurrection, and he will. There's nothing too hard for God. So he's talking about spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection here. And it's true that we come to know life everlasting in the resurrection of the body, but only because the resurrection body has been made perfectly blessed and devoid of curse through the spiritual resurrection that we come to know in Jesus Christ already. Now, there were others who had been resurrected in this life, Lazarus, and the tombs that opened at the time of the crucifixion that Jesus restored. And we also hear of times of that when Elijah was called to restore. But those people still ended up dying again. The resurrection that's upcoming is and needs to be tied to the life everlasting that we know in Christ. And as I mentioned, Jesus speaks to that spiritual, or what it could be called, that first resurrection in our text. Those who hear his voice and believe are in essence made alive again spiritually. Those who are dead, remarkably, and only by the blessing of Christ's Spirit, hear the voice of him who calls them to life by his gospel. Life everlasting, though part of the great happy ending of the believer, is really a happy ending that begins already on earth, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. Because we lose sight of what life's about if we cannot embrace the idea that life everlasting is already ours to know now. What else are we living for? What else can we hope for? What else is truly happy and prosperous and blessed if we cannot go forth in whatever it is that we've got to do with the knowledge and the happiness that everlasting life is already ours to know? Why are we worshiping otherwise? Why are we serving otherwise? Why are we raising families otherwise? Why are we going to work otherwise? Why are we carrying out in extracurricular activities otherwise? If we don't know that happiness, it's happy because through faith in Jesus Christ, we who once were dead are now alive. We are already. And it's happy because those who believe in him today already can have the comfort, the so important comfort, that those who believe in him are no longer under condemnation, and that's how they can live now. And when the final judgment comes, they'll be known as part of the people who have done well with new hearts that allow them to do well. But they will not be condemned because their faith was in Christ. He doesn't come into judgment. But he's passed from death to life. Because Christ has made that so. And it'll be like we hear Jesus say later to Martha, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Life everlasting is the happy ending of the believer already. And it's to be the happy ending to your story and mine that began in death and sin, but ends with new life through faith in Jesus Christ. It could be all kinds of things going on in your life, but that's to be the story's ending for you. And what dictates everything else that you do? Life's everlasting's happy ending displays itself then in praise to God. You know, you come to worship here. You get up in the morning to go to work. You raise your children. You love your wife. You love your husband. You honor your parents. You go into school and do your best because you know life everlasting's happy ending. And it impacts the way you speak and it impacts the way that you work and what you do. And again, that's why you come to worship. Such are the ones whose works will be found at the resurrection. Life everlasting begins with a faith in God and His Son whom He sent. But it then blossoms to perfection in the day when God brings to completion what He began in us in Christ Jesus, so that perfectly blessed, we can eternally give God praise as we were first created to do as those who were made in His image. And you see, That praise, after all, is truly the ultimate happy ending to the Christian confession. It's not even so much the life everlasting I get to know, but what I'll be able to do with it. To have the kind of perfect blessedness to praise God eternally that we can scarcely imagine in this world, where we face death all day long. And that's how, rightly so, how the catechism finishes when it talks about the comfort of life everlasting. So that after this life, I'll have perfect blessedness such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no man has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. That's the ultimate happy ending. It's not even so much that I'll be okay forever. But I'll be okay to praise God perfectly. Because that's what I'm here for. And that's why I will be eternally in God's presence. In the new heaven and the new earth. Everybody really wants a happy ending to their life story. You know, sometimes you can go online, I see that sometimes, and it'll talk about the tragic end of this celebrity and that celebrity and this other. And it's like, that's all there is. It's like people want to say, that's how everybody ends. Nobody has a happy ending. Everybody wants one. How do you get it? We can have it when our faith begins with God, who alone can provide the happy ending through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life everlasting for us. Only He can give us the kind of end to our lives and our faith that really isn't an end at all. so that like no other people, we can truly say with praise to God and with the hope of the gospel in our hearts, all is well that ends so well. When we believe and we belong to Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Is that the hope that you profess and the faith that you profess? May it be that way. For such a profession ends so well. And all is well that ends so well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be able to profess you and to know that the end of that profession finishes so strongly so that it's really not an end at all. But it goes on in everlasting bliss to know the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Father, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can truly say in our lives, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, even if death comes our way, everything will be all right. For all is well that ends so well when we have known the resurrection and the life that Jesus Christ brings. So that we may know that's physical resurrection one day, but already have the happy ending, as it were, in our lives of spiritual resurrection when our lives are in Christ. Oh, Father, may that move us to your praise every day. And when we gather together, when we take up our tasks, and as we look at the world around us, and consider what it is you'd have us be and do. May we remember what a blessedness it is for us to know that our story ends well. And all will end well when we've known Jesus Christ as the resurrection and life in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your gospel that way. And we'd ask that you'd hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.